You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to the Mindy Molina Show. I'm Mindy Molina, investment advisor representative, licensed insurance agent, and fiduciary. This is a live show, and I'll be here to take your calls at 772-221-1100 with any of your financial concerns. Again, that's 772-221-1100. Good afternoon, friends. You're listening to the Mindy Molina Show. This is Mindy Molina here with Frank Borelli, and we're grateful for you tuning in this afternoon, and we are going to be diving in to the remaining portion of our Permission to Spend series and talking about retirement planning and financial planning and really what are some other options that might not be what your financial advisors are introducing you to and educating you on. So we try to give you as much information that we can to help you be a an empowered and knowledgeable investor with an open mind and to concepts and strategies. And so this series has really been about how you can use infinite banking and whole life specially positioned. Frank knows how the
specially
terminology.
Designed with a mutual company.
Yes.
Where you are the shareholder as a policyholder. No shareholders. Policyholders are the shareholders.
Exactly. So this has to be structured the right way in order for this concept to work. And so we have Frank going through the program right now to become, you're going to get a special license, right?
What's it? It's not a license, just a certification.
A certification, yes.
So these are with the actual practitioners from the Nelson Nash Institute.
So we've been kind of going down this rabbit hole for what, about a year now?
Yeah, and it takes so much time. Like, I know quite a bit about this, and even with the people who build these policies out, and I can do that myself. That, like, we're doing this on Mindy. We're experimenting, and it takes,
well, we
you know,
experimented
multiple,
on you.
Multiple, yeah, but and it took me, like, before we got to the policy that I was happy with, was at least 6 or 7 iterations of designing the policy, seeing how the illustration comes out, and, you know, because you can mix the different portions of the contract between term insurance, paid-up additions, and permanent whole life. And so it's a really unique way to structure life insurance. Like, you've been in the life insurance business for a long time, and
yeah.
I don't know that you've seen policies built.
I've seen not like this. I've seen them. I've seen life insurance now is modernized, and it's a different tool than it used to be now in some ways. But for example, what I'm talking about is it can provide long-term care benefits. So we can use it for that.
Definitely true.
We can use it to provide another avenue of retirement income. So this, though, is taking it back to how it originally – it's evolved from its original recipe, I think.
Life insurance.
Life insurance.
Saying in general.
In general.
Well, whole life is oldest out of the permanent life insurance.
And that's what we're talking about now.
And – you know, some of the numbers, I don't remember the specific numbers, but there was a great deal of Americans at the early part of the 20th century and into the middle part of the previous century. You know, we're talking about from the early 1900s into the mid-1900s. And later, a lot of Americans used whole life insurance, right? The universal life wasn't even born till the 80s.
Right. Yeah, and that's
variable.
So we've so I think as an industry, you know, how I was brought up into the life insurance world was were these newer types of policies. So now we're taking a step back and saying, well, wait a minute, the real money was here in this little niche, and this is privatized banking. So it's a different concept that I've never been introduced to.
Yeah.
I've known about it, but not really learned about it like we are
an
now.
An aspect of what we're talking about, too, is where are you storing your emergency fund? And, like, why wouldn't you do it in a place where it's tax-free? And, like, a lot of other, you know, there's no 1099 at the end of the year. You're storing your wealth there. You're building your wealth. And you could you earn guaranteed rates out of the market. And, you know,
so you get the safety and the compounding, because when you have to pay, when you have to make a distribution or pay taxes at the end of the year because of the gains,
it's two steps forward, one step back. Exactly.
With this, it's a constant rolling forward.
And it keeps compounding. Right. And that's it. You want to keep maxing it out. Now, we're talking about this book, and we have to
Read our disclosure.
Read our disclosure. And you
Which I can
such
do pretty quick.
Job.
Yeah, I'm getting pretty fast at it.
You're doing a great job.
Although I don't have it memorized.
We're educating folks.
Yeah, this is something that...
ourselves.
Yeah, even us. Frank is really, really committed and has really kind of got his mind around it and sees the...
doing it. Yeah.
He's doing it. Like, he's super excited about it.
Yeah.
And I'm still, I think... mauling it over in my head with the numbers, like
it
really
took me
trying
a long time.
To compare.
How long I've been doing it? It's like a year and a half researching.
So if you hear us going, Frank is actually much further into this explorative quest.
Yeah, and it's just an aspect, right? This is not the only thing. We're not saying that at all. That like this is the only part of a financial strategy. Is just do infinite banking. Like
no,
that's not what we're saying.
Absolutely not. And thank you for reiterating that. Yeah. But again. Having tools like this, here's how I say it. It's like you can have a toolbox full of tools in the garage, tools in the kitchen, tools at your desk, but you have to use the tools where they are intended to be used.
Yeah.
So, for example, if you're going to go out and change your oil, you're probably not going to go to the kitchen and get a blender. But that doesn't mean a blender is a bad tool. It's just not intended for that. So don't throw your blender out because it won't work to change your oil. So this is just one more tool, one more
That's
arsenal.
Right.
And one more arrow in your quiver, as they
That's
say.
It, yeah.
So this is just one more way to diversify your overall financial strategy that in the end is taking you to where you want to be because you need to have a reason to invest, like have a target in mind of where you're what you're wanting to do with your money. All right. Here's this disclosure. Do not employ any strategy or idea in this book without the guidance or on this show without the guidance of a trusted credentialed financial advisor like Frank and I. The information in this book is intended to be general in nature and not offered as specific advice to any individual. The book and show discusses life insurance in detail, but illustrated or projected policy values are hypothetical in nature and do not represent specific offerings of any company. Dividends are not guaranteed, and historical studies are based on third-party data. Furthermore, policy provisions discussed may not be available from all insurance companies. Individuals are encouraged to work with a properly licensed financial professional to obtain suitable recommendations.
Good job.
There you go. Oh, sorry. I have to give you your book back.
Yeah.
So we've been starting with these stories, but
yeah.
Why don't we – do you want to read the first half and I'll read the second?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right.
Or unless you want to go ladies first.
All right, ladies first. So this is a story of Chris.
The best kept secret, though, is the title of the chapter.
Oh, okay.
So
yes.
We're in the title. This is like the book, Permission to Spend and Maximize Your Retirement with the Best Kept Secret in Personal Finance is the subtitle. We've been reviewing the book. We're towards the end, and he's revealing the secret here, the best kept secret. And this is the story.
And I might add, so in my own personal quest of investing, for me personally, is I am in the debate of whether I'm going to invest in Florida prepaid for my kids' college. My son's 10 years old right now, so I want to pay for that, or I'm going to invest the money into this concept as infinite banking and then have the next 10 years before I or not 10, 8 years or however old he'll be. 7? Boy, the gap is closing in. They
age years,
fast.
Right? He's going to be 18 or so when he goes. Yeah.
So as we go through this, that's just where I am is what would be more valuable for us in the long run. So here's the story of Chris, though. This is a hypothetical client. Chris was one of the most conservative clients I have ever come across. He was an electrical engineer and very intelligent. Oh, we definitely have those. But he came from extremely humble beginnings and was extraordinarily risk averse. Losing meaningful amounts of money was not something he could witness and still sleep at night. He had some investments through his retirement plan at work, as well as a mountain of cash. I recall congratulating him on his saving habits, but it was painful for me to see so much investment potential go to waste. These savings were earning next to no interest in the bank, and the little bit of interest he was earning was taxable. Inflation would continue to eat away at the purchasing power of those dollars, making them lose their value in real terms. How could I help him put that cash to work while still maintaining access and guarantees?
All right. Thank you, ma'am. And you read the beginning as we dive into the chapter. Now, I'm going to read how the story ends for Chris in this situation. Then we're going to go back and dive into the topics that how he got there. So over the course of several years, this is finishing Chris's story, Chris transformed his pile of inefficient taxable cash into an overfunded whole life policy that he now considers his bank. He currently has nothing in his savings account because he's earning over 5% per year in this new policy. Income tax free, by the way. In fact, he used its cash value recently for a down payment on his first investment property, and he's actively replenishing it for future goals and investments. In retirement, this will be the safe, accessible asset that gives him the comfort and freedom to remain more fully invested in the market with everything else, like we talked about, not just one strategy. Since he and I first met, this is still from the book here, Chris has gotten married. He enjoys having the death benefit to protect his wife as well. Putting his cash to work has resulted in tens of thousands of dollars in additional net worth that he wouldn't have had if the money was still sitting in the bank, and it will compound to be hundreds of thousands of dollars in retirement.
Awesome.
Yes, very nice. And so just to be clear, too, the insurance companies are not banks. They're not FDIC insured. And so that's another, like, disclaimer, disclosure. When we're talking about this banking concept, being your own banker, this is not the federal system at all. It's insurance companies. And
so one of the reasons that it got that nickname, we'll call it, though, is because when you have the money in sitting in cash value, so we'll call it cash being the main word right there, sitting in cash value of these life insurance policies with the insurance company, you have access to it just like you would in going to
without having to write an application or go see a loan officer.
Right. So you can
or have a job.
What are ways that we use banking? We right. get loans well, from the bank.
Buy a new automobile.
Right. Buy a new car.
A piece of investment property was the example.
Yes, exactly. So that's how it got its nickname in reference to banking. It's because it's creating your own little mini self-privatized.
And don't forget, though, the infinite part of that. The infinite part means I could just keep doing it over and over because the concept, like, what would you
do? As long as you
pay yourself back. Right. You have to pay yourself back. Just like if you went to the bank and got a loan to buy a car or the mortgage company or, you went to GMAC and you bought yourself a new GM product, and you financed with GMAC. If you didn't pay GMAC, they're going to take their car back.
Yeah,
and you pay it back.
And we are in the process right now of running these numbers just for my own primary or my own personal example of saying I'm comparing it to, okay, if I put it in Florida prepaid, which for those of you who don't know, you pay a lump sum now, you pay for college now, and really the gain in this is through inflation.
Right.
So you're paying today's prices.
That's a big advantage.
That's the gain. That's the win.
Florida's
is inflation.
Got a really good deal.
But it's not earning interest.
Right, you just hand over your cash and it's gone.
Inflation is pretty good right
there's
now.
There's strings attached too, right? And this is,
there's some limitations.
Some things to think about is that Mindy's kids may decide they don't want to go to college.
Don't say that.
But that could be.
But don't say that. Or, there could be limitations if they go out of state.
Yeah.
So
it has to be used for education, though. Isn't there strings attached or there's penalties?
Yeah, if it doesn't work out as planned, then you just get your premium back. You just get your money back with no growth.
So it could sit for 8, 10, 12 years and no growth.
That's the risk.
Yeah. Okay. There's risk there.
So there's that example. We're comparing that. So basically the inflation factor, and then we're comparing it to just being in a money market or say a CD of earning a fixed rate of 5% or 5.5%. How would that play out if I just put the money in that and let it sit?
That's not going to last for more than likely it hasn't been around that long.
Yes. Well, what will the interest rate be at that point? Yeah, that's a risk.
In the next year, this time next year, and then in the following year, what will the interest rates be for those fixed accounts for money market mutual funds?
And then once we get to that point, I think where the win is going to be is once we get to that point, and I write checks to pay for college or in Florida prepaid, they write it, I guess. But we pay for college. The benefit ends there, right? The buck stops there. Where with this plan, this can be something that can be used over. That's where the infinite part sticks in, to where this could be like a strategy that could benefit my boys for the rest of their life. Mm-hmm. Versus It's just, it's only going to be for college.
Yeah. And, you know, I wanted to mention that, you know, the unique, again, another very unique aspect of this strategy that we're talking about, again, we're just talking about education and strategies over our overarching, is that in these mutually held policies, they can be designed where when you loan, if you took the money as a loan, like there's going to be an interest rate that you owe the insurance company against that loan, right? You can pay. It's unstructured, like a bank. A bank would want to know when you're going to start your first payment, right? Not the case, right? Because it's your cash.
Right.
The difference, you know, talking about the differences again, and I just the point that I'm getting to
at your own will.
It's unstructured. It's an unstructured loan from your insurance policy.
So would you say you pay it back?
And it's simple interest. And it's simple interest. You pay it back whenever you can.
Okay.
Or whenever you want. So it does begin, you know, accruing interest that day that you're taking out the loan, simple interest, though. And then, but the part that I wanted to make folks understand is that it doesn't come out of your account. Like the amount of the cash value that you're loaning against, it stays in the account. And that amount
continues to grow.
And it continues to compound interest. Right, and then you just owe, it comes out of the general funds of the insurance company as a loan to you, that cash. So what I'm saying, you took the loan out, your cash value does not decrease by that amount.
Right.
And if, you know, God forbid you passed too, there's other, you know, if you passed during that time the loan was out, it would come out of the death benefit.
Right.
It would come out, they would take their money.
So for me,
their collateral is the death benefit.
The death benefit.
Guaranteed death
which
benefit.
Which is an added, I'm talking about it as it's an added feature. Like, we're not even doing this specifically for the death benefit, but the death benefit for me is like $1.5 million if I do this. Where
at the 10-year point, yeah.
There's no, I mean, there's no death benefit feature on any of the other, not for.
Right, and if this is the thing, right? If you believe that there's people in your life that you need to protect with insurance, and you want to leave them something, if you want to leave your heir something, and you have concerns about health and and living benefits, like these policies provide that. We I don't think we mentioned that part of the mm-hmm. other benefits. There's critical and chronic living benefits that are designed into these policies, which is pretty interesting and a very. We're going to cover a lot of that stuff in this chapter.
Let's go.
So what is your strategy for safe? You know, this is what we're talking about. Where's your safe money? Most people, you know, in the bank or in their savings account, their checking account, and they're using banks.
Right.
Now, so the other part of this whole story, to be quite frank with you, Mindy, is that the fractional banking system that our government is under, right, where you give the bank $1 and they can, you know, they're not required to have in the bank vault everyone's cash.
Right.
That is at all the depositors for the bank.
That risk.
The federal government does not mandate. It's like 10%, or it's
wasn't that long ago we saw that with the bank out in California.
So, if the people make a, you know, so we're not, you know, but I'm saying that's the way it works. The bank, like your bank, you have insurance though through the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation for these banks if they're insured up to like I think it's what $100,000 in accounts. If you have more than that in that bank, it's not insured.
I think it's 250, but still.
Okay, maybe it's 250.
But still, it could be a while before you get that money. And
And so these dollars though that come out of these policies are one for one. They're only giving you what you have in there, and it's collateral. So it's a really different animal. This fractional reserve banking system is a whole nother reason, you know, that this fractional reserve banking system is the reason our nation isn't so far in debt, because they allow these banks there, and the government itself is spending all this money that it doesn't have. It's a pretty sad state, to be
quite honest.
So
is this where the Federal Direct Insurance Corporation, the FDIC, is what you're talking about?
For a bank. So we're talking about where do you serve mm-hmm. your safe, accessible money? And so if you're putting it in a bank, like you should know, you make sure you understand as a, you know, you're putting large sums of money. If you save this money into a bank and it's in a savings account, like the bank, again, by law, is not required to have on hand all the depositors' money in that bank. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, many banks are, you know, if you deal with some of the big banks, you got branches all over town and in different places.
So, like, if there was a run on the bank is kind of what you're alluding to, because that could happen, and it has happened.
I'm just saying, these are the facts. The facts are that fractional reserve banking system, the way we our banking system is designed, you have an amount that is in your checking, in your savings, in your money market account.
Yep, keep going. Sorry.
The money should be invested in, yeah. Anyway, many also, so we're...
I didn't know. I thought you were right there.
That's all right.
I'm trying to keep up with Frank here in his,
yeah, that's right.
In his book. I got to find my place.
Right, so some people, so the opposite of having large cash values sitting in bank accounts or in having it somewhere, we believe, we're not saying either, Mindy and I are saying that you should have 6 months minimum before you start investing, maybe more like a year to 2 years of emergency cash.
Emergency money.
Yeah, this is what we're talking about, that emergency money, your reserve fund, right? A safe, accessible allocation of cash. Where are you storing it? And but other people believe that wrongfully believing that money should be invested in other opportunities, that it shouldn't sit, like you should use it and then try to get it, you know, to work for you. That's referred to as opportunity cost, right? That's at the top there. And then where the cost of holding cash is the foregone potential gains of making money somewhere else. But what if you could get attractive, risk-free returns on your cash without taxation? Does that sound like it's too good to be true?
Well, what if you could
get attractive, risk-free returns on your cash?
It sounds really
taxation?
Good, but how accessible is it? Like, how long is it going
to
take if I say,
three
hey,
to five business days,
I need $10,000 because whatever. What does an air conditioner cost these days?
Depends on how much you want to invest. Okay. You can get it for $6,000, $8,000.
So if I just needed to pull that from my...
You could always put it on a card and then, you know, do it that way, right? Because you won't owe the interest as long as you pay that off within like 45 days, 30
or 40
days.
But do you think it typical is 2 weeks, 30 days?
I think it's 10 days on the long side. Okay. I believe it's more like five to seven business days. Yeah, you can get your money. And they should be, my understanding too is that they can do it electronically right into your account.
Like, right, and that's what
so
I would
So it
want.
Would just take a couple business days.
I'd want to be able
two
to say.
Two or three business days.
Pay me.
Max five.
Okay.
So most attention in the financial services goes towards investments, right? And that's what, you know, mm-hmm. with lofty return projections, typical client reports, you know, however, the average investor working with an, you know, this means that you know, there's expenses, and then cash allocations are often ignored by professionals and leaving clients to do this, to tread that ground on their own.
Right, the traditional banking.
Right, and even in our world, right, we've recently added.
Are you saying ignored by financial advisors like myself? I'm not.
Well, I've helped in our process, in our business
I'm
profile.
I'm laughing at that statement because we Frank will tell you. Because I see it as you're in, or have always seen it up to this point, and I'm opening my mind to other things, but you have three areas for your money. One is your expense account, which is your income is coming in, your bills are going out. Okay, your income is coming in, your expenses are going out. So that money is just constantly circulating in and out of that account. And then you have your emergency money, which is this middle ground, which now I'm hearing Frank say he's kind of targeting this emergency money, which I have always said that's your savings account, right? That's your rainy day, something off the wall happens, you need access to cash. And that has always been a comfort level, especially in retirement.
Yeah, it should be.
I have clients who don't need any more than $10,000 in their account, in their bank. And then I have clients that need $150,000 to $200,000 to feel comfortable.
Yeah, we've sat with them, yeah.
That's it. That's a feeling. So if you're saying that money, that emergency money can be used in this.
Absolutely.
Okay,
to
awesome.
To replace your roof.
Because I'll be honest, my mindset was on the third spot, which is the nest egg. Is using a portion of your nest egg in this type of policy to generate, but you're saying no.
Nope, that's not how Frank's using it.
Interesting.
Well, okay. Yeah. But I think a portion of your nest egg could be there as well. So this is a long-term strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're talking, you know, in this concept, could you imagine, like, So we're talking about totally different, mind-blowing, like most people do not think about life insurance. Well, I'm going to put as much cash into my policy as I possibly can.
That's
what I do. Well, but I mean, that's what I'm doing. I did it. I did it this past year. Last year, I put as much as I possibly could. I put a lump sum in. I put a bunch of money. So,
and folks, he's so excited about it. Now he's trying to talk me into it. So,
but I lost my train of thought, but that's okay.
That's why they call it overfunding, right? Is it considered overfunding?
Yeah, it's an overfunded. And so, as the policy in this strategy matures, it like 10, could you imagine if you could soak and put a bunch of your nest egg in there? And it takes a lot of time. Like if you had large sums of money, right, there's a problem with life insurance that it can't be a modified endowment contract. Because what that means is that your life insurance policy is starting to look like an investment. And if your life insurance policy looks like an investment, then the government, the IRS, is going to want you to pay taxes on it.
Right.
So it can't be a modified endowment contract. That's where it would lose its tax advantage. So it's not unlimited. It's not unlimited to the design of the policy.
And so based on my experience.
But you can have multiple policies. It's one way to get around that.
Okay. So based on my experience and just being in the world of both investments – and insurance, okay? Mm-hmm. Insurance companies, I have so much faith in them. I really do. Insurance companies are so strong. When you look at the world from a financial
these companies
aspect.
Have been paying their dividends every year for over 100 years. Some of the big mutual companies since the Civil War through every financial crisis paid the dividend, guaranteed rate and the dividend in these whole life policies that have been around like 150 years.
And there are stories like that just go on and on. I mean, the Great Depression, insurance companies got it through. That's what saved so many aspects of our economy. And so I've really leaned toward insurance companies more than I do the banking system or even the stock market.
Wall Street.
Wall Street. So my mind is open by that because I get that. And hearing so many older, wiser been there, done that, like seeing people that are so much richer, right? That are so much richer too. Mm-hmm. Seeing them utilize this has really had me scratching my head going, well, what am I missing here? And you know, part of my passion is that being better stewards of money as not only middle class America, but also as Christians, because we have to be wealth builders for the kingdom. And the way to equip the next generation of Christian leaders or just people.
Even our children.
Yeah, I mean, they're wanting to defund us. They're wanting to keep us impoverished and unpowerful. So to be able to open your mind to say, hey, if I love the Lord and I'm a Christian, then I need to care about the future of Christians.
Well, Nelson Nass was an outspoken Christian gentleman.
Yes.
And he was like the guy who, like, he told the, he spoke all around the country, Nelson Nass, you can look him up.
Right.
And he was warning the insurance companies, like, people are going to start getting this concept. Like, so these insurance policies in the rules, like the IRS allowing you to do this, those rules have been in place since before the 30s.
Right.
So before these rules took place for the financial world.
Well, I was going to say the MEC laws around the modified endowment contract, those are not that old, right? Like they had to input those
people were putting so much money in insurance policies. Yes.
So that was the problem that people were doing this.
Yes. Yes.
And taking full advantage of it. And so lo and behold, the government got involved and said, no, we don't want you to have that ability. We need you more.
To a limit.
So now it's limited.
Yeah. So the insurance company is human life value. They can only insure you up to your human life value. So what's that? Like,
well, I mean, for me, it's billions. Right?
we're infinite, made in the image of God, right? But the, you know, the insurance company might not see it that way, but you know.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, so not a lot of people think about that. Like people are trying to pay the least amount of money they can to get the least amount of insurance that will cover, you know, so this is a totally different way to think about life insurance. Like you're saying, and you're explaining as the lights are starting to get from dark to getting a little dimmer there, getting a little.
You're schooling me. You're schooling me. And I do believe that because I have, I just believe that God is telling me to explore this and learn. I really feel that pressure. I told you that. And when you first started. And so my mind is open. My heart is open because I feel like God is saying this is a light that you need to see. And I'm trying to.
Yeah. And so the thing is, you know, the protection against inflation, you know, 5% inflation means that, you know, next year, $1,000 purchase is only $950. And then the same goods purchased today for the same good was purchased. The next year, it's $903. The next year, it's $857 if we had 5%.
But what are you talking about? Inflation?
We're saying inflation. So where are you, you know, because he wrote this book, though, before the rates started coming up and you could money into a savings account, get 4 or 5%. But, you know, for many years, though, like 20 years or so, right? And like annuities even came into place because nobody can make any money.
Right.
In money market mutual funds in a safe place. And this is insurance companies stepped in and really made these annuity products much more beneficial to the client.
You know,
they've gone
working with a client and I wanted to show like how did it actually perform? How did the annuities find one that, you know, a client had for 10 years or so. And I did. I printed out every single statement for 10 years. And I was thinking, wow, it could have been better. But then I had to remind myself, Mindy, this was when, you know, in something that is 100% safe and not in the market, 3% was amazing.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't that long ago that 3% was great. And now look how fast I forgot that. I was like, what?
Right.
Should have been.
And so, the Mindy Molina Show. We're live. You can call us at 772-221-1100. If you got any questions or a story you'd like to share, and you could find us at MindyMolina.com to set an appointment. You could set an appointment right there at MindyMolina.com. We don't charge for any of our appointments ever, and all of our detailed multiple meetings for detailed retirement planning and strategies that you might not be aware of, to include this one. And again, you could find us at MindyMolina.com on YouTube, Facebook. And if you want to call into the station, you can reach us here today, Mindy or I. I'm Frank at 772-221-1100. And we're continuing to talk. We got somebody trying to reach us maybe? Or his phone's not? Okay. About during our working years, our allocations can be viewed as simply emergency fund or as money that can be used for investment opportunities. So our emergency fund, right?
An emergency fund, there's a reason why people have cash on the sidelines, because you put it in the market and now you need it. You have to liquidate positions when the market is
That's
down.
That's why they hold cash.
You have to sell off way more positions.
But if it's in a whole cash in a properly designed, mutually held whole life insurance policy, you could take it out as a loan, unstructured, not have to pay it back in any set time or rate at your choosing. And when you want, you could take that money out, use it, and you're still – it's not actually coming out of the cash value. It comes out of the general account of the insurance company. Your cash value stays at the amount that it's at and continues to earn interest.
So
if it's designed correctly.
I have an interesting question for you that may or may not.
And so there have been times when that actual – it's called positive arbitrage, where the interest rate was 4% and then your rate of return was 5%. You took the money out.
And still made money.
And you're still making money.
Yes.
In a positive way. That's positive arbitrage.
Just to restate.
It could be the other way, negative though.
What Frank just said. Imagine you have $100,000 in cash value. It's earning 5%. So
that's
it earned $5,000 that year. But you borrowed $100,000 against it. So you have $100,000 in your pocket using
against
that money.
It. And that's a key term is against it. It doesn't come out.
It doesn't come out. As a,
still
there's a lien against
that
it. So in the interest that you owe for borrowing that money is 4%. So you owe $4,000 for that money. So in the end, you made $1,000.
And it is simple interest with the
But again, you have to pay it back.
You don't have to. You don't have to.
You don't
to
have
pay.
To ever pay it back?
It would come out, if whatever you owe, though, would come out of the death benefit. The insurance company has set aside that guaranteed death benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to have more, you're not going to have more cash value than death benefit.
So let's say you
want
to.
Until you're like way, it could be a way sometime in the future, 20 or 30 years in your 80s or 90s, where potentially that cash value could start to exceed the death benefit.
And then the policy could blow up.
So that's
not
the design of whole life, is that the cash value meets the death benefit.
Oh, okay. Question. So,
you don't
let's
get
say, no, I get it. What I'm saying is say that I have this policy in play, okay? And now 5 years from now, I want to get a loan, maybe a business loan for.
Nobody cares.
$1 million. Well, no, like something way bigger where I am going to go to a lender. I'm
okay.
going to go
yeah.
to, you know, maybe an investor or something like that. Would I be able to list
Absolutely.
This
it's
insurance
asset.
Policy
Absolutely.
As an asset?
Absolutely.
And what would that asset value be? Would it be based off
the
of the
value.
Death benefit or the cash value?
I think there would be some value. I don't know. That would be a good question. If you're a banker and you give bank loans, you could call us and let us know what you think. But definitely the cash value. That cash value is liquid. It's yours.
Yes.
That's an asset, just like if it was sitting in a savings account. And then again, historically, you know, I'm not sure, you know, if guaranteed rates of return in mutually held whole life insurance policies on average, historically, say the last 100 or more years have been higher than savings account. I would think that the answer is yes,
mm-hmm.
that the guaranteed rate in cash value whole life insurance policies from a mutual company, those guaranteed rates over the last 100 plus years have historically always been higher than the average you would have got in a savings account, a bank.
Right.
And it was tax free. And it's not fractionally being banked with the bank in a fractional banking. So there's definitely benefits. And it was giving you death benefit potentially. Right.
Right. And the death benefit. Okay.
So
this
105. Which page you want to start?
The best
go back
boring
to
money
yeah,
can boring. Buy.
Yeah, let's move on here. You're still listening to the Mindy Molina Show. If you want to talk to Mindy or Frank, you can call us at 772-221-1100. You're listening to the Mindy Molina Show, and we've been talking about the permission to spend in retirement, maximizing your retirement with the best kept secret in personal finance. Mindy and I have been reviewing this book by PhD Tom Wall.
I have
his
another question.
His thesis was in whole life insurance.
Yes.
And right, and this is what he's saying, the best kept secret in personal finance. And this chapter we're in is the best kept secret. What's
so
your question?
My question is, so say somebody has a life insurance policy already. Maybe it's an IUL or a universal life insurance policy, and they have a cash
1035.
Value. Yeah, so they can.
Absolutely. If you have, yes, the
explain.
You have other permanent types of life insurance with cash value.
Mm-hmm. So you can roll that
okay,
cash
Todd,
value
you can call back if
into,
you want to talk to us, Todd. Your call got dropped. Sorry about that. Call us back, Todd. We heard that you got dropped. Sorry about that. Yes, so absolutely. If you got cash value in a different type of investment.
Yes.
A life insurance investment or a life insurance asset like universal life, variable universal life.
Mm-hmm.
Or even another whole, like I had a whole life. Like I exchanged the whole life policy I had. It was a terrible policy. Not properly designed. Yeah, for 2 years, there was no cash value. All the premiums I paid in, there was no cash value. I'm like, what? I've learned this concept.
Well, because also, this concept is not the most lucrative.
Oh, for the insurance
agents. For the insurance agents.
That's right. Yeah, so that's another great point is that, look, we're talking about this. We make the least amount of money as insurance agents when we sell this product. So it's in your best interest is why we're talking about it.
You know, we keep doing that. Why
well,
is it
to, God, we, be glory, because,
amen.
To because, God be the glory because we're servants of Christ who died
are.
For us.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, we keep leading our, I think when you are led by the Spirit, but when you're also doing what is in the best interest of the client.
Fiduciary, which we are.
The fiduciary side of this, when you're truly doing that, guess what happens? You are, the money shift is towards the client and not the advisor. Yeah. Okay, so that's all as we advisors, want. We could make so much more money.
Right.
We really
that's
could.
That's not why we're in business.
Though. Not only in life insurance. Now, you just added life insurance, but we have the same problem with our annuity business. We take the lowest payouts with our designs. Yeah. We do as advisors. And then with our investment strategy being fee only, it's the exact same thing. We don't take commissions on our trades. So
no trades.
No mutual fund fees coming in. So again, that puts us in that thing. But like you said,
client first.
We just keep on succeeding though.
God to God
so
be the glory.
You can do what's right for clients and still have a beautiful living at this. Even doing infinite banking whole life policies. So keep it up. Let's hear what else you
for
got.
The many this book was outlined, we all need boring. The best boring money could buy is what this section of this chapter in. We need accessible, stable assets in our portfolio, particularly in retirement, right? And this is the we'll get to the point that in the down years when the markets are down, if you don't have an asset in retirement and if you're trying to pull all of your retirement income out of assets that are in the market and the markets are down, we've talked about this before, then you are going to significantly damage your nest egg by having to pull out money. And so this is a strategy that you could take money out of a well-funded, properly funded, and it's been mature for a while, right? This isn't something that would have happened in 1 or 2 years.
Yeah.
And so because it comes out tax-free and you don't even know no taxes. Not like, and so this is another side of this aspect is that, you know, where does government and Wall Street tell you to put their money? Where nobody can tell you if you put it in a qualified account, nobody can even tell you what your tax rate's going to be when you take it out.
Right.
Because Congress keeps messing with the tax rates.
It's assumed you'll pay less when you retire.
And we're at historically low tax rates.
Yes. Not to mention you don't have access to it.
59.5, 10% penalty they're going to take if you put it in these specially designed policies from the government and from Wall Street.
Right.
They're the ones that benefit. Not to mention, even in the, you know, Mindy, have you thought about this, that I was, listening to one of these IBC practitioners who also, when you're putting in money in a qualified account, you're not only deferring the income or the tax rate that you have no idea what it's going to be in the future, but the fees. Like, Wall Street is still collecting fees off that money.
Yes.
So that's an expense to you. Right, and it's an expense to that investment.
And so you have limitations on your investments. I mean, there's a lot of things to be. We'll have another show on 401k.
Participating
alone.
Whole life insurance can provide this better than anything else commonly available. We're talking about boring, accessible, stable assets in our portfolios. And number one, premiums are paid to the participating whole life insurance company. Premiums. That's who's collecting our money, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to a participating whole life insurance company. Again, we talked about that this participating whole life is that you as the policyholder are the shareholder. You benefit as the insurance company benefits in their as they make money.
Right. You're owner.
You're part owner in the company, in the insurance company. That's your participant. That's why it's called participating whole life. That's what it means, mutual, right? You and me. Mutual means you and I. The company issues a whole life insurance contract. The contract guarantees that the cash values will rise every year. How many other products can you get into? Only insurance companies really are providing guarantees in rising values. Cash values will not be taxed as they grow. Now, there are tax consequences. We want to say that, too. Like, if you liquidated your life insurance policy, you stopped the policy, you canceled the policy, and you made money more than you put in, then you owe the government money.
Yes.
And that's the same way in these, you know, when we talk about taking money out of cash value, as long as you don't take out more than you put in, no tax consequence. But if you ever started taking out more money than you put into the policy, that's why you want to max fund it.
Right.
Like, it's your bank. Where do you want to put your money? In your bank. Max funded. Yeah. So cash values will not be taxed as they grow. Premiums are held in reserve and invested by the insurance company. Right. That's what they do. The premiums. Right. And the cost. Now, we want to say, too, up front, we haven't mentioned this is a downside, but I don't see it as a downside personally, is that whole life insurance is the most expensive. But it's because.
Premium.
Yeah, the premium is going to cost you the most for the amount of death benefit because it provides the guarantees, though, is why. The insurance company has to set aside those assets, enough assets, to fulfill their guarantees.
Yes.
So that's why it's one of the reasons why, you know, it's
well,
it's
and I think that
cheap.
if somebody is only thinking about death benefit,
right,
and they're not interested in any of the things that we're talking, this is not something that is just focused on death benefit.
That's right.
This is that's why it's called the infinite banking concept. It's utilizing your money in a different way. And oh, by the way, the death benefit is a perk. Almost.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
But if you just need death benefit, you know, like having a term policy, there's other options to just have a really low premium because it is so important for you to be insured.
Yes.
It is so important.
Have protection for your loved ones.
Protection is really
don't
like
procrastinate.
Not the primary focus on this end of kind of what we're talking about, but it should be a so if it was just protection, I guess like my point is we're not ruling out all other policies.
Yes. No, I certainly have other, I have other strategies in place besides the infinite banking concept that I am using. I have other term insurance policies that are covering myself. Absolutely. Yes. Separate policies besides this policy. That's a very good point.
But if
Mindy,
that's all you need
that
is that protection, this probably isn't going to be the strategy for you. There's other strategies for life insurance.
In this strategy, they're using term insurance as well.
Yeah,
it's a part of the strategy that's in that actual whole life policy. When income from their investments, the insurance company investments, exceeds the guarantees, the participating whole life insurance company pays a dividend.
Dividend.
So, and then you collect that dividend. So they have guaranteed rates. And then at the end of the year, when they balance out their books and they've made money, if they've made money, then they'll pay a dividend on top of the guaranteed rate. That's what we're talking about. And there's companies that we like to do business with, have A-rated companies that have been around over 100 years and have paid their dividends throughout the Great Depression, every year for over 100 years.
Yes,
and then better than assumed mortality or expenses also contribute to those dividends. Right? So they do worst case when they write these policies on you.
Right.
Like they have to.
And are people living longer?
People are living longer, yeah.
And, so that's good.
And then dividends are reinvested into the contract, compounding the growth. And then if it meets the IRS guidelines, cash values are available at any time, income tax free.
And there's no limitations on age. Like,
no.
You don't have to be 59 and a half or...
No, the earlier the better.
Or
the
when you turn 72,
younger.
Are they going to force you to take money out of it?
Right. No, no RMDs in life insurance contracts. No, 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 no. Yeah, the magic of participating whole life insurance is that through the contract, you get to go to indirectly participate in the performance of the insurance company's general investment account, where the company has guaranteed away all market risk, right? Because, like, what he's talking about there, he talked about in other portions of the book, like, the insurance companies have the whole range of the bond portfolio where they can hold those bonds to maturity. They're not worried about the bond losing its value and then somebody else can sell
it.
They're going to hold it to maturity.
Yeah.
They can ladder all their bonds out to any and all different terms, and then they're going to just make the money off the bond when it matures.
It's very...
Because they're not worried about the risk to that bond.
Yes, because they're going to holding it to maturity. So I like that notion because, like you said, the insurance company invests the money. But the question is, okay, how? Right? And how are they able... And in order to be able to say, well, we're going to guarantee something, insurance companies are held to higher standards, higher regulation, more depth of what they have to disclose and be so transparent with their finances. So being able to say this is how they're going to do it, and like what Frank was saying, holding it to maturity is the key thing. That's how they're able to give you the guarantees and keep you in that safe environment, investment environment.
Yeah, these are tax advantages with few limitations, too. We're talking about here, we're in this concept still. You're listening to the Mindy Molina Show. We are reviewing Tom Wall's book, Permission to Spend, and he's really talking about mutually held whole life insurance companies and whole life policies.
Also known as infinite banking.
Also known as infinite banking concept, sometimes called privatized banking or be your own banker. And so these tax advantages with few limitations, meaning you can generally contribute as much as the insurance company and IRS guidelines will allow. We talked about this earlier, the modified endowment contract. You can access that money whenever you want, without age restrictions. That's, or you were already talking about this, right? Mm-hmm. And since you get to participate in the performance of the company's investment portfolio without any potential for loss, you may get better risk-adjusted returns than you could possibly dream of in a similarly constructed portfolio of your own.
Because of that buying power and strength.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Well, so he's saying, like, you imagine trying to build a portfolio that an insurance company could build right. in fixed income where you're like...
Well, they're buying power. I mean, what they're buying at different rates than what you and I can buy at.
Not to mention that, right? Not even... Yeah, and the same with corporate interests. Mm-hmm. But the lack of volatility and favorable tax treatment outweigh these costs. Because the insurance charges and policy fees are certainly present, which we talked about. But the in his experience, this is Tom Wall speaking, but the lack of volatility being in this whole life insurance product and favorable tax treatment outweigh the costs in his experience. These aren't the biggest returns, you know. We're not talking about 50% returns when comparing them to what you earn after tax and other assets that are guaranteed or at least considered very conservative. All of these elements combine to make participating whole life insurance the ideal asset to act as a volatility, this volatility buffer, an alternate source of income in times of market turmoil, which we just talked about. Right? Markets are down for the whole year. You had to pull out four, you know, if you were averaging 4 or 5% coming out of your portfolio and your portfolio is down 20%. Now it's like 6% you have to pull out, and then that's compounding because now you're losing a larger portion of your nest egg in order to do that. So you should have a portfolio that includes he calls it this volatility buffer. If you can pull assets that are not in the market, not tied to those market declines, and then even not be taxed.
So I like this. These aren't cocktail party returns. Right. We're not bragging to your friends about your 50% gain. And I chuckle at that because, you know, when we are I see this all the time. It's like you go through this planning process. You're helping someone or a family get their roadmap to financial success, which doesn't just include one stock. Right, it's huge, holistic, planning, and our process is pretty in depth. And what we do is really focused on your overall success and protection. Okay, what is going to provide and protect for you in the future? Be best for you. Be best for your family. Maintain your lifestyle. So a lot of things go into it. But then it's like you're going through this process, and then you have those one friends that are always bragging about.
Did you hold that stock?
Did you get that return? And it's like you're talking about one little element of finances, but bragging friends typically don't ever brag about what they lost.
Yeah.
Right? They don't talk about that. It's like going to the casino. Yeah. It's like I have some friends that seems like they always win. They're always winning, but their stomach for loss is way bigger than mine.
Don't gamble,
So planning is never cocktail party returns. If you have, I will take a solid financial strategy over one big heyday anytime because I see it. I know how it affects people. All right, go ahead.
So this next section he's talking about, there's a catch. So what's the catch, right? If it's such an amazing asset for your saving, why isn't everyone doing this? Well, of course, there's catches. The two catches are, if it comes to participating, the first catch is that you must be healthy enough to get it.
Right.
Not everybody can get these policies. And if you got, you know, God forbid, you know, you have some health problems, you get a bad rating from an insurance company, this is not, you know, it's going to be way too costly. It's not a strategy that could work.
Mm-hmm.
And there are ways around that if you have people in your life that have insurable interest, but that's another strategy.
What if you have, like, for example, if I set this policy up, then I want to continue to dump money into it. What is the limitation of how much I can keep contributing?
The insurance companies are responsible for telling us where that modified endowment contract, like the contract we have written that we did for you, at the bottom of the page, it tells you that there's a figure at the bottom of each page that tells you that if you exceed that number, it's going to be taxed, modified endowment
contract. For the rest
contract.
Of my life.
Yes, it's annually. So it's based off annual, though. The modified endowment restriction is an annual restriction. How much can I put into the policy or contract in 1 year to not make it a modified endowment contract. That's what the insurance companies. And so, you can mess with those designs. That's why there's really quite a bit of I've been tweaking the design on your policy. I'm on version five or six, and so I'm still working with folks to try and get it the most efficient that we can.
There's only
with the least commission, by the way.
Once it's put into place, so once the policy is enforced,
yes.
Then let's say 5-10 years from now, I'm diagnosed with something, and I say I gotta put all my money in this life insurance policy because I'm not going to get approved for any more life insurance. It is what it is. There's no increasing it going forward. Later.
Well, so not all companies are not the same and all policies are not the same. So one of the companies that we like to deal with does have the ability where I can put, for example, I'll use my contract, right, that I put a lump sum in. Mm-hmm. And so and I have a premium. In addition to that premium, based on the lump sum, annually I can put up to that limit. Okay. But I could put less. I'm going to put my premium. So say the premium is $5,000 and you want to put $20,000 into the contract. So you put $25,000 in the first year. And, oh, by the way, the cheapest way to pay for insurance is annually. Mm-hmm. And not a lot of insurance agents will tell you that. It could be a pain, but the most expensive way, most companies will provide a discount. Not all companies, though, I've learned, provide that discount for paying your premiums annually. So then the next year, you only want to put the $5,000. That's your premium. Then you could do that. But, you know, with this company that we found, mm-hmm. So then the third year, I didn't put the 20 in. I only put $5,000. So the next year, I could put $40,000.
Oh, wow.
Yes, with this company. And the way they – this company has been building products around this to be the most flexible product in this field. Mm-hmm. The companies have really been. Nelson was, I think, even a part of some of this. So it's very interesting. And so that's one restriction. Can I be healthy enough to get it? Right. Obviously, the younger you are when you add to your portfolio, the less likely you are to have developed the kind of conditions that would cause an insurance underwriter to decline or offer substandard coverage. Right. That's kind of obvious, but you know, people don't think that they want to. It's younger years, but you know they really should. And then the other catch, there was one, is patience, because costs of insurance policy are generally front loaded. By structuring contracts this way, the insurance company knows they can meet guarantees, cover costs, and provide maximum long term growth. So that was the other catch. It's kind of expensive, and we stayed in the middle of this chapter here. We'll be able to maybe finish this chapter next week. As spring break will come upon us.
Oh, right. Yeah. So we're covering this book, as Frank said, and talking about infinite banking and the strategy and how you can utilize your cash in another way.
And to be clear, you can't buy an infinite banking policy.
No, it's just a strategy.
It's a strategy. It's a concept. It's a concept.
Exactly. So we appreciate you listening in. If you have any interest or thoughts on this, I'd like to just kind of get no obligation, or just get some ideas thrown at you. We're open to talking to you. You can find us online or you can call the station. MindyMolina.com. That's Mindy with an IE. And we appreciate you listening in, and hopefully you've enjoyed learning along with us and this new concept and diving in a little deeper on it. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful afternoon. Be safe. And remember, God loves you. And there's nothing anyone can do about it. Thanks for listening. Join us next week. And remember, if you have any concerns about your financial picture, please reach out to us at 561-729-2778. There's a no obligation consultation. All you have to do is text or call 561-729-2778. Or you can reach us on our website at www.mindymolina.com. Mindy Molina Investments and Insurance has been protecting the retirement of families for 15 years. Information provided by Mindy Molina Investments and Insurance and or its affiliates are for informational purposes only and is not intended to be relied upon as a forecast, research, or investment advice, and is not a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any securities or to adopt any investment strategy. Get your financial report at 561-729-2778. or you can reach us at www.mindymolina.com.
In the day.